Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be with you this evening. I appreciate Max stepping in on such short notice. Mr. David called me about 5 minutes before time for services to start. Miss Jane is not feeling well, and so he was going to stay home with her, and so Mr. Max stepped in. That's why he was talking about those songs were not original songs that he picked out. And so, as he mentioned, the invitation song will be 21 if you haven't marked that yet. That was one of the songs that Mr. David had picked out that he did not know. And so make sure you mark that for the invitation song. It's great to see you here tonight. Great to have the opportunity to worship our God together. As I said this morning, tonight we want to talk about being called. And to begin, I want us to notice a couple of verses by the Apostle Paul that talk about the fact that we are called in a very general sense. And then for the lesson, we'll focus in on four things that we are called to. In Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, in verses 1 through 3, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Here Paul lets us know that we have a calling, that we have been called. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, as he writes to the church at Rome, he echoes a similar sentiment. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And so we understand that as Christians we are called. But that raises the question, what are we called to? And that's what I want us to notice for just a few moments tonight. Four things that we are called to. Four things that God wants us to have. Four things that He calls us to. Number one, as Christians, we are called to peace. We are called to peace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15, Paul writes, "But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases." But notice what he says next. "But God has called us to peace." God wants us to have peace. You think about God is referred to in numerous places in Scripture as the God of peace. Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is peace. And so the Godhead is obviously concerned with peace. And God promises peace to those who follow Him. And so we look for that absence of conflict in our lives, and it doesn't come. So we begin to question, am I doing something wrong? God's promised me peace, but I don't feel like I have peace. I have this internal conflict going on, striving to resist temptation and not to sin. I have these external conflicts going on with the world around me. And as a result, maybe we become angry. Maybe we begin to question and wonder, why isn't God granting me peace? Friends, the problem isn't necessarily with us, and it surely isn't with God. The problem is with our definition of the word peace. You see, we've allowed the world to define peace for us instead of allowing the Bible to do it. Because most of the time when you and I think of peace, what do we think about? We think about the cessation of conflict, right? We think about the ending of a war, the ending of a battle, or the ending of a struggle. That's what we commonly think about when we think about peace. But y'all, that's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about peace. A biblical look at peace shows us that it has nothing to do with the conflict that rages around us. That it has nothing to do with the conflict that sometimes rages within us with temptation. It has to do with God and faith in Him. It has to do with knowing that no matter what happens, if I'm faithful to God, then heaven's going to be my home. It's a faith that tells us that the God who promised peace is able to bring about that peace. A peace knowing that we are in the hand of our Father and that heaven awaits. Y'all, the world can be crumbling around us and we can still have the peace that God promised. Because it's a peace of knowing that we are His. And knowing that heaven will be our home. When we think about things that God has called us to, He has called us to that kind of peace. Number two, God has called us to liberty. We've been called to liberty. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul writes to the church at Galatia and says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." What's this liberty that he's talking about? I think in Isaiah 61 verse 1, Isaiah gives us an idea of what this liberty is. Isaiah writes, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound." God was liberty in the Old Testament, wasn't He? You think about Noah. God liberated Noah from the sinful world that was all around him, right? Through the flood that took place. But maybe if you're, especially in our Wednesday night class, we've been talking about the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage. God liberated the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Indeed, God called them to liberty. Maybe you think about freedom from other oppressors that they were granted, especially in the book of Judges, as they went through that cycle of sin and then servitude and then crying out in supplication and then the salvation that God provided, that liberty from their oppressors. But God is liberty now under the New Testament. Brethren, sin always comes with shackles. Did you hear that? Sin always comes with shackles. Now you don't have to take my word for it. You can take Paul's. In Romans 6 verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey?" Well, what's my choices, Paul? Whether of sin leading to death, I don't like that one. Or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What's that form of doctrine? Go back to the beginning of chapter 6. You'll find it there. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Paul says God's given you liberty. He's liberated you from the shackles of sin. Indeed, God has called us to liberty. But number three, God has called us to salvation. God has called us to salvation. Most of the time when you talk about being called, this is the passage, at least for me, that comes to mind. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you." How did He call us? By our gospel. What was the purpose of calling them by the gospel? Because He chose them for salvation. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's called us by the gospel so that you and I can be saved. When it comes to our salvation, we have the desire of God. That's part of our salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." It is God's desire tonight, friend, that you're in a saved relationship with Him. That's His desire. That's what He wants. He wants you to be saved. That's why in 2 Peter 3:9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brethren, we can't blame God if we are lost. If we stand before Him on the day of judgment and He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," we can't look at Him and say, "This is your fault, God." Because His desire is that we are saved. Another part of our salvation is the death of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." A third thing that goes into our being called to salvation is the direction of the Holy Spirit. You and I wouldn't know what we need to do if the Holy Spirit had not inspired the men who wrote this book to tell us what we need to do. And so you've got the entire Godhead involved in calling us to salvation, the desire of God, the death of Christ, the direction of the Holy Spirit. But there's still one more key ingredient. And brethren, that's our decision. We decide whether or not to follow what God has said. Our salvation is contingent on us following God's word. That brings us to our fourth and final thing that we want to notice that we've been called to. And that is the fact that we have been called to eternal life. We have been called to eternal life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy and tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which also you also were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Later in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I've told you this before, but it always amazes me to think about it. The fact that God wants you to be in heaven more than you want to be in heaven. That's amazing to me to contemplate. Because I don't know about you, but I mean, I want to be in heaven. I mean, like, I really, 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 really want to be in heaven. But yet God wants me there even more than I want to be there. God's called all of us to eternal life. Friends, God has called us. He's called us to peace. He's called us to liberty. He's called us to salvation. He has called us to eternal life. The question that needs to be answered is this: will you answer that calling? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can answer that calling by becoming one, by turning from a life of sin and by putting Christ on in baptism. If you've done those things and you are a Christian and you're here tonight and you haven't been living as you should, answer that calling by turning away from sin. Answer that calling by turning back to the God who loves you, who sent His Son, a Son who died for you. Y'all, they've done so much. The least we can do is serve them faithfully. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.